Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 15 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing too. Last week we did Watering Hole and I got up to Johnny Fox's, the highest pub in Ireland, spoke to my dad about his own watering hole and discussed the pubs reopening in Ireland, maybe soon, maybe not. This week we are doing Holy God. And I might actually need Holy God's help, actually, because my lovely kids were moaning that they weren't getting a holiday. Now, I mean, there was a fear of their holes now, like, because they've had 6 months summer holiday from school. So I'm back in Wexford. I'm pretending they're having a holiday. They're on my sister's farm shoveling shite, basically. So it'll keep them honest. But I'm parked up here at the side of a road having a chat with G in peace in the car. So it may sound like a motorway or a runway, but we'll get there. When I hear the words Holy God, I always think of a man called Mick Lally, because he was the lead in a show, Glen Row, that was massive on Irish TV. And his quote was, "Well, Holy God." So everyone would say, "Well, Holy God," says Miley.
Holy God.
He'd other ones too, like tall, 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 or how she cutting. And I actually did a play with him once. Yep, that's an aeroplane. No, no, it's just a car. Oh yeah, it's a, what do you call them? With all the gadgets stuck on the car. Not a joyrider. Anyway. Oh, fuck off, would you? You fuck off. Boy racer, is it? Is that what they're called? Oh dear God. Oh holy God, says Miley. Right, well, I actually got to work with Mick Lally on a play once, and oh, what a legend. He used to kill me for eating salads. Would you stop eating those salads? As he'd be having a pint of Guinness and a stew or something. I was personally brought up in a lovely holy family and didn't do me too much harm. I didn't turn out too bad, but I am not a practicing Catholic anymore. My kids go to an Educate Together school. I got married in a registry office. I suppose my mother saw my faith waning years ago, but she always said, "You know, now you smart ass. I tell you, you've got to believe in something, because there's a day when you'll have no one to turn to. And it's lovely to go into a church, peaceful space, and talk to God or talk to someone, even if it is going to have a chat and confession or something." And, you know, she's right. You know, sometimes you do need something or someone or believe in something. The confessions are actually closed down at the moment. I looked into it. There's a general absolution, it's called, that the Pope is offering. But there was a priest. Oh, there's a tractor. There was a priest in Talla, which is in Dublin, and he started doing confessions in the car park, and people were doing the 2 meters apart, but it went viral on Twitter. Actually, I think confession originated from back in the day when the clergy wanted to know what was going on in the village, so they'd know everything, because everyone would come in and try to get absolution for their sins. I don't have any sins, so I'm grand. My children, though, do ask me very strange questions about the church, because they don't go to mass, so the odd time they do end up there, they came to my niece's communion and they said, "What is she eating?" And I said, "Oh, that's Jesus's body." They go, "Jesus, Sheena, don't be eating Jesus's body." So they didn't understand the body, the bread into the whatever it is. And Yeah, they were asking me about the Angelus as well. It came on at 6. It comes on Irish TV at 1 minute. No, at 6 o'clock every day. So that's why the 6 o'clock news is called the 6:01 news in Ireland. And they were asking me what the words of it was. And I was like, I don't know. I know it, but I never knew what I was saying. And I was like, well, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary that she conceived by the Holy Ghost or Spirit or something. And they were like, what does that mean? I was like, Mary made a baby with a fairy or an angel. And then it went on from there, and word was made flesh, dwelt amongst us, pray for us, the Holy Mother of God. That we may. Anyway, you never forget these things, but at the time you don't know what you're saying, you're just saying them. And, you know, it's more of a mantra and meditation. It doesn't really make any logical sense that a baby is born with original sin, we'll say. So you have to wash the sin off them. And the sin is that a man and a woman had sex to make the child, whereas Jesus was made with a spirit dust. So it was tricky trying to explain. And then they asked, why did I baptize them? And I said, I just thought it would help you get into schools. But and I did offer them to go to religion class, but they went to gymnastics instead. Two memorable moments I have of being in church as a child were, one of them was I was sitting in the pew with myself and my sisters, and we looked out in the aisle, as I'm looking out here at a pew, I looked out in the aisle and there was a knickers lying in the middle of the church, and we laughed our heads off the whole way through until we went up to communion to get our bread, the body, and we realised it was from our house. One of us had pulled on our trousers the next morning and the knickers had been stuck in the leg, so when our family walked up to Mass, a knickers fell out on the aisle of one of the legs of our trousers. Another time, I don't know if I told you this one before, but I was made do the reading at Mass, and there was first reading, second reading, prayer of the faithful, and my mother would make me do it because, you know, with the old elocution I'd be good at speaking and stuff. And I was ploughing through it anyway, letter from Paul to the Ecclesiasticus, the next thing that I shout, Jesus Christ! This furry thing ran out between my legs, and the priest gave me a dirty look. The congregation just stared at me. Yeah, Jack Russell was under the altar and he ran out between my legs and outside door. My cousin after was like, geez, that was a lively reading. And I was like, yeah. Did you see the dog? No, no one saw the dog except me and my ankles. But I actually went up to a church earlier today and I asked a few of the congregation how they had found COVID and the church is closing down, and met some lovely ladies, and here's what they had to say.
Marie, how did you find it all since March?
Well, I'm a fairly regular mass goer of a Sunday and I probably missed it, but I fear at this point in time nearly I have forgotten about it, which is terrible. I know I went online probably once or twice. It wasn't quite the same. Well, you do miss that regular contact, I suppose, with the...
Yeah, there's the fear of that, because even for me, going to church, sometimes it's the peace and the meeting people and stuff like that. Did you miss that side of it as well?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I suppose in terms of not having the confirmations or the communions and and, you know, Easter. I really missed Easter, actually, yeah. Yeah, because I would have been, you know, I suppose traditionally at home, coming from a country background, we'd have done, my mother would have been on about the Triduum, which was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you had Easter Sunday. So kind of Easter went by and we had none of that now. I might necessarily make all the Triduum currently, but, you know, you'd get one or two out of the three anyway, yeah.
And do you think the communions and confirmations they'll all be caught up, will they?
Will they catch up with them? I don't know. Yeah.
That would be very sad for kids.
And I suppose they'll probably catch up on them, but it won't be in the same format as people have been used to.
No, I agree. Well, thanks for your opinion. Thanks, Marie. Thank you. And here's Catherine. How have you found it?
Yeah, I'm not a regular church goer. I go sporadically. But I'm currently, as it happens, staying in my sister's house in Blackrock near the big Guardian Angels Church. And I know it's been a huge loss to that community because it's a wonderful parish and they have a fabulous parish centre that my sister, who was ill, got great joy and, you know, community, as you said, meeting people there. Yeah. And I see that people gather sometimes in the car park and listen to music from inside the church now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's very sad. A lot of people have, especially some of the older people around there, you know, it was a big part of the community. So.
Yeah, I totally agree, because it's the spiritual side of it and the meeting people.
And I totally agree with you about you know, if I do go to church, it's the peace and the
Because the church gets a lot of criticism at times.
Yes, yeah.
But you can't knock the community spirit.
No.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Not at all.
Oh, they were lovely. And it really is the social element as well as everything else. So I'm going to give someone a call next. And I was trying to think, who on earth is the closest thing to God in my mind, right? Who do I know that's quite godly? And this person came to mind. His name is Michael Barron. Now, hopefully he'll answer the phone. I checked there on his WhatsApp to see if he's live. You know, the way you can check if someone has been active recently. Well, he's very active. So I spotted that he was active. So I'm going to give him a call. Now, if he doesn't answer, it means he doesn't like me. Bit of spying. So we basically, I think he is, for me, the closest human to godly living. And sorry, no, but he's not a priest or anything. I don't know if he even goes to mass, but it's just this pure, kind. Anyway, I'll give him a call.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, hello, Mick. How are you?
Hi, Norma.
Come here, Mick, by the way, I'm recording this if you don't mind, right? I'm doing a podcast.
Okay.
Don't say fuck or bugger. If we're doing a podcast,
are you healing your hole?
I am. This is Heal Your Hole, and this week I'm doing Holy God, right? And I had to think.
Okay.
I was trying to think of who I could think of is the closest person to God on earth that I could think of, right? Now,
yeah. Well, I mean, every day and every way, I'm trying to heal my hole as well. John Lennon used to say.
For me, someone who is godly and Jesus-like is someone who literally dedicates their lives to making other people's lives better and yet doesn't want a martyr badge for it. And I was just telling the listeners about how, you know, you're no boring balls, but you've literally dedicated every job you've had for the past 10 or 20 years, because we don't want to say you're too old now, has been like, give us a rundown of your CV. Yeah, please.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So I suppose, well, we've known each other since like the early 90s when you're living in Transkei, right? So trying to think back from then to now. Well, anyway, I suppose the main things I was doing that you're talking about, I think, belong to, which is the LGBT youth organization, where we worked on homophobia and transphobia at schools and all of that work and doing up marriage policy. And then we got to meet each other again. About 5 years ago, was that right?
Don't ask me to remember now exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
I was heading up Equate, and we were working on freedom of religion in schools and trying to end the baptism barrier. So I suppose they're the two things you're talking about, really, I'd imagine.
And what are you working on now?
So at the moment, I am working on the Equality Fund, which is a fund that will support community organisations working with minorities, so like with Travellers and Roma community, with migrants, LGBT community. It's a new project, which is going really well.
Okay, so basically, have you ever done anything selfish in your life?
All the time. I'm sitting on the beach at the moment. Of course, loads.
So what I love about you as well is that you started off with Belong To, which is the LGBT group. LGBT, LMNOP, I forget all the letters now at this stage. So you basically got that as far as the yes vote in Ireland, the marriage referendum. And then you kind of just went, right, that's there now. That's like that can see the finish line, and you moved on and really helped people in schools. You got rid of the baptism barrier, this entrance to schools in Ireland where you'd have to be baptized or you'd be put to the back of the queue, and you managed to get rid of that. You and, I mean, other people. It wasn't you alone, but you dedicated a good few years to that, didn't you?
So that's the work of Equate. There was Equate and there was Education Equality, and there was a bunch of people, the Humanist Association, there was loads of organisations working on that for a long time. And I suppose really we got involved in it, or I got involved in it to a large degree because of the treatment of LGBT young people in Irish schools. That was kind of my entry point to it. And then a lot of people that I know who were gay and lesbian, who were having kids, they were having problems getting their kids into school because they weren't baptised as Catholic. And then I suppose once you kind of start peeling away the layers of the onion and that, you kind of get to kind of a core, which is what's the story with kind of the setup of Irish schools and health systems and all of that, where churches have had such control for such a long time over it. And in one way, that's fine, like, of course, but in another way, it does exclude people who aren't of those religions. So I suppose we're at a situation still where the Catholic Church maintains about 90% of schools in Ireland, and the Protestant Church is about 6%, and they were allowed to not let kids of those religions into their schools. And I suppose the work to remove the baptism barrier means that they can't do that anymore. So Catholic schools have to let non-Catholic kids in, basically, I suppose.
Yeah, the percentage has to reflect the community. There's so many different people in Ireland and across the world now that you can't just pick and choose. And that's how I got involved with you that time, because my kids were in an Educate Together. And I just, I forgot about the people who were struggling, because, you know, in an Educate Together, it's all religions and none. So no one is excluded. Religion is an extracurricular after school, and you sign up if you want to. So no one is feeling excluded at the back of the classroom when religion is going on. So I really felt strongly to, and I know you got rid of the baptism barrier, but what about religion within the schools? Is that still taught throughout the day, or is it compartmentalised?
Yeah, so we also worked on a lot of that actually as well. So there's this thing called like the kind of hidden curriculum as such, which is, you know, the religious schools are allowed to teach religion at any particular time during the day. Yeah, a lot of policy came out of the Department of Education during our time of doing that work as well, which was to kind of compartmentalise that so that religion should only be taught at certain times of the day. So there's a lot of work done there. And then the Education and Training Board as well, who run a huge amount of secondary schools and primary schools, changed how they taught religion as well, so that they became more of a secular schooling system. So there is a lot more choice there. But for me, Norma, the big thing really was that in many ways we weren't being anti-religion. We were just trying to get the state to take responsibility for the teaching of our kids. Because it is a bit mad, isn't it, where you have a system where the state pays like almost 100% for all the schools, and then they subcontract it out to religious groups that don't have to.
Yeah, that was the weird thing, that the state were funding all these 95% of the schools, but they were yet the religion was in control of where they, how they taught it, when they taught it. And there wasn't anything put in place for a kid of no religion or another religion. There was nothing put in place for them to do during religious time. So as a child, you just feel excluded. You just want to join in. That end of story, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and those third choices are being put in place now, which is really good. But I mean, we've an awful long way to go. When we think of how out of sync that the school system is towards the reality of Irish society, like, so I was just looking, like, last year, over 50% of Irish weddings were carried out in non-religious ceremonies. So they weren't carried out in churches. They were carried out, you know, in registry offices or whatever, other places, whatever. And you still have 96% of schools maintained by religious groups. I mean, that's totally out of sync with the reality, you know. So, and also, one of the polls that we did back then was we found that a quarter of all parents who baptised their child said they wouldn't have to if they didn't need to get them into school.
Well, I baptised all of mine because I was in Dublin and there's a high demand to get into schools. So I baptised them solely because we weren't going to church at all. We baptised them so they wouldn't be put at the bottom of the list in a number of the schools around Dublin, which is not great, because that's making a mockery of the religion, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it doesn't work for anybody, you know. It doesn't work for I don't think it works for the religions. It doesn't work for obviously the parents and the children and society as a whole. So I do think, I think a few things happened over the space of a short period of time. So you had the marriage equality referendum, and you had the repeal of the AIDS referendum, and in the middle of it you had the removal of the baptism barrier. And I think in the long run, the removal of the baptism barrier, even though there wasn't a big same big celebration because there wasn't a referendum, well, I think we might see it as being as influential as both of those in the long run, because if you think about it, it will mean that, it should mean at least that a quarter of people will no longer baptise certain children. That kind of changes the face of Irish society and makes it a bit more honest, I think, as well.
It definitely does. And now with COVID, you know, a lot of kids couldn't get their confirmation and communion, which is disappointing because it's a build up. It's like the weddings that were cancelled and stuff like that. But, you know, we've all survived without the church, and yet I'm not a Bible basher, because I would definitely say, you know, people in small communities or people who just love the spirituality, the peace in the building, the music, the just meeting people, basically. I think that was a big loss in the countryside during COVID. So there is a heart to gathering, and it's just sometimes the way it's all put into action isn't the best for everybody, and it excludes people, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the intention of people who have a religion, right? I mean, I totally agree. You know, I'm sure I grew up in a very religious family, and I think, like, I think my grandmother was one of the people I most admire in the world. It was really very Catholic and very spiritual. And we grew up playing the rosary and doing all those things. It was all kind of like meditation, you know, and time out.
Oh, absolutely. Saying the rosary is saying the rosary is definitely a meditation. So all religions are close once they just, it's awful when they fight. And that's the problem, isn't it, when there's...
Yeah, and I think in Ireland, a lot of it is just to do with the level of power that churches have had, isn't it? You know what I mean? With owning schools and owning churches and making those big decisions on behalf of all the rest of us, which really isn't their role, you know? I mean, I think that's always been the problem. Not the actual religion, it's more the power and influence and property and all of that has always been the piece that kind of corrupted it, I think.
Well, for me anyway, you're the closest thing to God I could think of when I was trying to decide who I'd give a shout out to. Because you know what? You're a doer. And I can tell you, I know you're on this equality thing now, and you said you're dealing with the travelling community. And what other factors does it incorporate?
Yeah, so there's a really strong focus on the travel and Roma community who've been really badly affected by COVID-19. You know that. I mean, the rates there are, you know, four times the national rate amongst the Roma community, for instance. Also migrants and people from ethnic minority communities, people with disability, and then also the strong focus across all of that with people who are living in poverty as well, you know. Yeah. So I think often we think of equality in terms of identity, but a lot of it to do with the living conditions and poverty that people are living in as well.
Okay.
So we're trying to bring all of that together in this moment, yeah.
So this is new now, and I'm sure I'll talk to you in a couple of years' time and it'll be something else. You'll have got something to a certain level, you'll have changed people's lives and you'll move on. But you always leave a footprint of and you know what? When you were doing that stuff for the schools, I was like, what's your man doing? Because you don't have kids. And I was going, what does he give a hoot about? The amount of things you work on that don't impact you at all. You're just a giver.
Oh, look, thanks very much for saying that, Norman. But I mean, there's a lot of us at it. And I think it's more of a social justice perspective on the world, isn't it? That we've kind of grown up with. And some of it actually does come from, I mentioned my grandmother before, like, you know, I mean, she had a very strong social justice kind of outlook. But it is just around the belief that people should be treated equally and that our state should be treating people equally. I mean, it's kind of simple as that. I mean, you see a level of discrimination that happens in Ireland and elsewhere. I mean, Black Lives Matter really brought it out. COVID-19 has really brought it out. You know, I mean, it's hard to not do something about it, I think.
And you grew up in backward Ireland, like myself, around the same time as a gay lad. Like, you know, I'd be so angry with, you know, the treatment at least you travelled and stuff. But like, I'm sure that was zero crack when you were trying to come out and stuff.
Mine is crack, yeah. it wasn't really, there wasn't much crack growing up as gay in rural Ireland. It's true. But you kind of know as well, I mean, at that time, this is like the 80s and 90s, you kind of know that you just don't come out, you know what I mean? I mean, I never met a gay person until I moved to Dublin, you know, it just wasn't, you know, just was nobody gay around. And it was hard going, there's no two ways about it, and those of my friends and peers have had that experience as well. And then we spent the rest of our lives trying to repair the damage that's done from that time as well.
I know.
You know, so, and we just, and there's no need for it, like, you know.
And we just need to park it as well sometimes, because a lot of people who are racist or homophobic, it all comes from fear. Like, I remember around the time of the yes vote, and I was trying to give a dig out, and even relatives and friends from parts of the country who just, they were just like, well, I don't know what to vote about gay marriage because I don't even know a gay person. Or, you know, I'm confused. And in fairness, my kids who had, you know, friends who were gay or transgender, and they were just like, they were ringing around going, will you give us the yes there for my friend? You know, it won't affect you, but it'll make their future easier. And I just loved that. I loved the younger generation kind of going, just do it for us, not for ye. Give us a dig out.
Totally. I think the fear that you mentioned is absolutely true. I think that's the ultimate basis of all discrimination and prejudice. You know, and James Baldwin, I can't quote him now, so sorry. But it was said something along the lines of that he thought that the reason why people hate it so much is that if they stopped hating, they'd have to deal with the fear underneath it all. You know, and I think that's totally true. People are so afraid of so much, and that's the ultimate basis of discrimination.
I was brought up in a big city, the second biggest city in Ireland.
Cork isn't the city now, don't be.
Oh, you fecker! Cork is the centre of the universe, as you know. And I was a bogger from outside the city, but I genuinely thought there were no gay people in Cork. There was only one girl who had black skin, and I knew her family, so I was well cool. And it just didn't exist until I actually moved to Dublin, like yourself. And so, this is where they're hiding out for safety.
I remember coming to Dublin and not knowing anybody. I was going to come out. And there's a place called Simon's Place that you see on George's Street. And the guy there, Simon, who was a gay man, and he was known, I heard, like other students at Trinity, whatever. So maybe I used to go there and have soup and just look at him. For ages, just kind of going, oh, that's for the gay person.
Wow, there's the brave man who... Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you go because my podcast, I don't like to let them go on too long but thank you for talking to me. Oh my God, I didn't even know whether you'd answer the phone.
I'm following your whole, by the way. I know we haven't talked about it.
Okay.
Brilliant. Fair play to you. And I've been listening to your podcast. I listened to your one where you interviewed Sway, the Sex Workers Alliance, a little while ago.
Yes, about decriminalising sex workers. That was a treat. And I'm going to try and get Kate McGrew on to talk about it even further because she's the activist with the Sex Workers Alliance Ireland. So I'll do that down the line, but not here. So I will talk to you again, my dear, and we'll have a proper chat, not recorded. Go on, goodbye.
I've had a good idea what I'm going to talk about the next time. Thanks.
Such a lovely guy, friend, and you know, we all wanted to have a go off him in college, and of course we didn't know why. Me not so much, but I definitely, or maybe I did, I don't know. God, he really had no interest in us, but yeah, great guy. So that's it for today. Next week will be either Brown Hole, which I'm still waiting for rights on, or Acupuncture Hole. That's another one we have in the making. It's great to be here at the side of the road, just loving it. I do love Wexford though. I do love Wexford, even if my kids are, well, they're happy shoveling shit. They're great in a way. Okay, please like if you enjoyed the episode. Please like, share, tell your friends. If you didn't, shut your hole. And do subscribe. That's really helpful for me. So subscribe, or go on healyourhole.com and send your queries there for future episodes. And of course, if you are from Waterford, get your tickets to Heal Your Hole at the Theatre Royal on August 14th. And I'm going to get out of here actually, because there's a gang coming up and they're looking in the window wondering why I'm kneeling down talking into a phallic object. Okay, I'm gone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.